And I'll ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 to 35. We are working our way together through the book of Joshua. Tonight I want to encourage you not to fear during times of change. Again, our text this evening is from the book of Joshua. We're picking up where we left off last time with chapter 8, verse 1. Let's hear God's word. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves. Lay an ambush against the city behind it." So Joshua and all the fighting men arose to go up to Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And he commanded them, "Behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you remain ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they come out against us, just as before, we shall flee before them. And they will come out after us until we've drawn them away from the city, for they will say they are fleeing from us just as before. So we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. And as soon as you've taken the city, you shall set the city on fire. You shall do according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you." So Joshua sent them out. And they went to the place of ambush and lay between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night among the people. Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the fighting men who were with him went up and drew near before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai with a ravine between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So they stationed the forces, the main encampment that was north of the city, and its rear guard west of the city. But Joshua spent that night in the valley. And as soon as the king of Ai saw this, he and all his people, the men of the city, hurried and went on early to the appointed place toward the Arabah to meet Israel in battle. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel pretended to be beaten before them and fled in the direction of the wilderness. So all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them, and as they pursued Joshua, they were drawn away from the city. Not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that's in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." And Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. And the men in the ambush rose quickly out of their place, and as soon as he had stretched out his hand, they ran and entered the city and captured it, and they hurried to set the city on fire. So when the men of Ai looked back, behold, the smoke of the city went up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that, for the people who fled to the wilderness turned back against the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had captured the city, the smoke of the city went up, then they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. And the others came out from the city against them, so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and Israel struck them down until there was left none that survived or escaped. The king of Ai they took alive and brought him near to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai in the open wilderness where they pursued them, and all of them to the very last had fallen by the edge of the sword, all Israel returned to Ai and struck it down with the edge of the sword. And all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. But Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had devoted all the inhabitants of Ai to destruction. Only the livestock and the spoil of that city Israel took as their plunder, according to the word of the Lord that he commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it forever a heap of ruins, as it is to this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua commanded, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raised over it a great heap of stones, which stands there to this day. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it's written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Thus far then, the reading of the word of God. Let's pray together. As ever, Father, we're thankful. Thankful that you're spoken. Not only did you speak to Joshua, which in itself is extraordinary beyond belief, that you spoke into the lives of these people, you spoke to Joshua and told him what to do, but you also spoke through whomever you inspired to write this down, to record it. You guided his hand, his thoughts, to record these words for us, that we have an account for us, that it's, as it were, directly from you, because your spirit carried this author to record your very thoughts using your very words that you had chosen for us, that we might understand what happened, that we might hear the things we need to hear and know the things we need to know. And so we ask now that, having done so much already, having spoken to Joshua, having directed the hand of him who wrote this down and recorded it, Lord, now bless it to us and open up our minds and our hearts to understand it and to see here in your word the truths that our hearts need to be won to. Win us more and more to yourself and to your ways. Convince us, persuade us, draw us in, Lord. Break down our prejudices and our sinful inclinations, Lord, and cause us more and more to love you, love your people, to love your ways of doing things, love your laws, Lord. Use your word, we ask, to prepare us for the challenges that we face. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is always changing, right? Relationships change, friendships change. Your job situation may change, your finances change, your health can change, your school can change. I mean, things are always changing. Our country's changing. Our culture is changing. The fact is, we live in a world that's it's constantly changing. I want to encourage you this evening not to fear. Don't give in to fear during times of change. If you look with me at our text this evening, beginning in verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed." Now, if you remember from last time, the city of Ai was a city, and it was a sizable city up the mountain from where they were, but it was nothing compared to the city of Jericho. Jericho was a huge walled fortress, and while Ai was a city, it was nothing compared to the city of Jericho. And God's people have just conquered Jericho, but they did not have success with the city of Ai. Remember, they were so confident after their victory with Jericho, they said, "Well, we don't need to send all of our men up to Ai. It's up the mountain. It's inconvenient. And it's small in comparison. We'll just send a few thousand men." And so they only sent a few thousand men up to Ai, and those men were defeated. And they fled in disgrace. It was an embarrassment. And as they were retreating, the men from Ai chased them and struck them down. And a number of the Israelites were defeated. And it was because there was sin among the people of God. So that had to be dealt with. The man who had broken God's law was identified. He was actually burned, he was stoned, and then he was covered up with stones. His sin was dealt with, and it was covered over. And so now that their sin, the sin is dealt with and it's covered up, now God says to Joshua, "Don't fear. Don't give in to fear. Don't be dismayed. Yes, you were defeated by this relatively smaller city, but that's because of your sin. That's been dealt with. It's been covered up. Now don't fear. Do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. Now, last time they were overconfident, just sent a few thousand men. This time God says, listen, take all your fighting men and go up there. I have given you your hand into your hand, the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. Okay? And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. God said, I gave the king of Jericho into your hand. Now I'm going to give the king of Ai into your hand. I gave the city of Jericho into your hand. I'm going to give the city of Ai into your hand. I gave the people of Jericho into your hand. I'm going to give the people of Ai into your hand. It's the same thing, right? It's just the same thing. But in a lot of ways, it's not. It's a different situation. When the people conquered Jericho, that was their first big battle in the promised land, and it was a great victory. Things have changed. They've just suffered a defeat. This is a different situation. They've already been defeated by Jericho. So this is by Ai. So this is it's a different situation. Not only is it a different situation, but it's a different arrangement. Verse 2, God says, "You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king." So it sounds the same. But then he goes on to say, "Only its spoil and its livestock you shall take as plunder for yourselves." Well, that's a pretty big difference, because when it was Jericho, they were to take the whole city and burn the whole city. The whole city was to be devoted to God, devoted to destruction, and you were not to take anything as plunder. In fact, that was the sin that caused all the problem, is that we saw last time that Achan saw a cloak, an expensive cloak from Shinar, and he saw 50 shekels of silver and a bar of gold worth 20 shekels of gold, and he took that, and that was the sin that caused him to have a defeat at Ai. This is different. With Jericho, they had to devote the whole city to destruction, burn it all down. When they go to Ai, he says, but this time you're allowed to take plunder. That's a big deal, because not only are you attacking the city, but you're going to be looking for treasures. You're going to be looking for livestock. You're going to be competing with your other brothers for good things. This is a different situation. It's a different situation. There's different terms. A different arrangement. It's a different strategy. They've already said, instead of sending a few men up like he did last time, you're going to send all your men. Verse 3, Joshua and all the fighting men arose to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them out by night. And he commanded them, behold, you shall lie in ambush against the city behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you remain ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out against us, just as before, we shall flee before them. And they will come out after us until we've drawn them away from the city, for they'll say, they're fleeing from us just as before. So we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize the city, for the Lord your God will give it into your hand. It's a totally different strategy. When God's people were to take Jericho, God had said, simply walk around the city of Jericho. God said, I promise to give it everything, everywhere you place your foot. So simply walk around the city once a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, you walk around 7 times, and then you just shout as an act of faith, celebrating that God has given you the city, and the walls would just fall down. That's how they conquered Jericho. This is a totally different situation. He doesn't say anything about walking around the city or the walls are going to fall down or anything like that. He says, instead, we're going to take all the men up there, and we're going to take 30,000 of them, and we're going to have them stand and hide in ambush. And then the rest of us are going to go up, and we're going to act like we're attacking the city. And when the men come out to meet us, we're going to flee, and it's going to seem like before. The men of Ai are going to think, oh, this is just the same as the last time you attacked us. Last time they attacked Ai, they fled. The men of Ai chased after them and were able to catch up to them and kill them. And so he says, we're going to go up there, we're going to pretend to attack, and then we're going to flee, and the men of Ai are going to chase after us, and they're going to think it's the same thing, but it won't be. Because when the men of Ai have come out of the city to chase us, the city's going to be left empty, and those men who are in hiding are going to go into the city, they're going to waltz right in, and they'll set the city on fire. The point is, this was just different. This was unlike anything that the people of Israel had ever faced before. It was a totally different situation. And yet God tells them, don't fear. Don't be afraid. even though this is totally unfamiliar, this is strange ground. They've just suffered their first defeat. This is a whole different strategy. It's a whole different town. It's a whole different way of doing this. God says, don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Life is always changing. You're always facing some new circumstance. And yet God says, don't be afraid. Because even though in some ways life is constantly changing, nothing is ever the same. Your circumstances are always changing. Challenges are always changing. Difficulties are changing. Jobs are changing. Some things still remain the same. If we go back to the beginning of the passage, when the Lord says to Joshua, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. He's not saying every detail is going to be the same. The details were quite different. This was unfamiliar. Many of these men had never even been up on this mountain before. Most of them hadn't been up there. Lots of things were different, but the basics, the fundamentals were the same. God gave them the city of Jericho. God was going to give them the city of Ai. God gave them the king of Jericho. He's going to give them the king of Ai. God gave them victory against Jericho. He's going to give them a victory against Ai. Even though all the circumstances were different, and the strategy was going to be different, and the arrangements were different, and what they're allowed to do was different. It seems like everything was different. But some things don't change. And that's why you can face differences. That's why you can face change. That's why we can be flexible. That's why we can be courageous and face situations that are unfamiliar. Because even though sometimes it seems like everything's changing, there are some things that never change. That's why we can keep going. Look down at verse 18. And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the javelin that's in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand toward the city. Now, when they faced Jericho, God told them, walk around the city. He said, I'll give you everywhere you place your foot. And so you walk around the city with your feet, and God was going to give them the city. It was an act of faith. I'm going to give you everywhere you walk, you place your foot, so walk around the city. I'm going to give you the city. This time, God says to Joshua, hold out your hand. Okay, lift up your javelin with your hand, and I'm going to give the city of Ai into your hand. It was different. With Jericho, they walked around the city. With the city of Ai, there was this ambush, and you hold up your javelin. But in both cases, the same result. God gave them the victory. God gave the city to them. You know, life is always changing, and it can be overwhelming. It can be intimidating. We can be overwhelmed because we think I've never been in this situation before. But you can face change. You can face circumstances. You can face. You know, maybe you take a new job or the new boss does things differently. He wants you to use a different program on the computer, or he has a different way of keeping account of the books, or maybe a certain approach to your business that worked in one situation is not working in another situation. You can be flexible and you can change because God doesn't. I mean, we don't have to fear change because some things remain the same. Outwardly, everything about this was different, and yet the same result. God gave victory to his people. And that's really how our text ends tonight, picking up in verse 30. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it's written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. Things have changed. Moses is gone. Moses, the great leader of Israel, has passed away. Joshua's the leader now. Moses led them through out of Egypt and through the wilderness. They're not in the wilderness anymore. They're in the land of Canaan. Everything is different. How are God's people going to adjust? How are they going to adapt? Well, it's because some things don't change. It says, Joshua built an altar to the Lord just as Moses had commanded. So even though the circumstances have changed, the time has changed, the place has changed, the person leading the people have changed, you know what's not going to change? Their worship's not going to change. And who they worship is not going to change. He says, just as it's written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. It's very important that you weren't when you built an altar, you weren't to carve it and shape it and work it, because you could easily fall into the mistake of thinking that, well, God is more likely to bless me because I've made a really nice altar. Or perhaps God won't bless me because my altar isn't as nice as someone else's. It'd be very easy to fall into that if the altar was something that you cut and you chiseled and you worked. And so it was important that when you made an altar, you just made it out of uncut stones. You just piled up stones. You needed an altar, but it was just a pile of rocks, because it was important that it be clear that building an altar was not a way of earning God's favor. It was just an occasion to offer up a sacrifice to receive God's grace. That didn't change. That was true in the time of Moses. It was still true in the time of Joshua. It's still true today. That it's all about it's grace. It's grace that has got you where you have gotten in the past. It's grace that's going to carry you through the future. That doesn't change. Circumstances change. God's grace doesn't change. There, verse 32, there in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Again, different circumstances, different place, different time, different challenges. Same word of the Lord. He writes on the stones, the word of God, the law of Moses. God's word doesn't change. There's a reason why God's people have been able to grow and spread throughout the centuries on all kinds of different continents, different countries, and different cultures. It's because even though times are always changing, some things don't. And that's what enables us to move forward. The fact that while life is always changing, God does not. And God's grace does not. And God's word does not. He says, all Israel, sojourner as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There's not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women, and the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them. Perhaps you remember how Moses had commanded that when they enter the promised land, half were to line up on one mountain and half were to line up on the other, and they would read the blessings and the curses of the law. And what we see here is that hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed. They enter into the promised land. They do just as Moses had said, even though he had written this years before. God's word doesn't change. God's grace doesn't change. And so God says, do not fear. Don't be discouraged. Your sin is covered. And they had faced defeat because the sin that was in the house of Israel, but then that was dealt with. It was covered. And now God says, don't fear and don't be dismayed. Likewise, he says today, don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb that Jesus Christ has hung on the cross, that your sins are covered, dealt with. God's anger is turned away. And now his grace is poured upon you. And the same grace that has brought you where you are today, the same grace that's brought you through the problems of the past is going to bring you victoriously through the problems of the future. Don't fear. Don't fear times of change, even when it seems like everything is different. Because some things never change. The word of God doesn't change. God's grace doesn't change. God's faithfulness doesn't change. We can face the future. We can face times of change without fear, knowing that our Lord, our Savior, doesn't change. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, for greater courage, for greater courage, for greater confidence, for the ability to see beyond the surface, to see beyond the details, to be able to see the big picture, Lord, to be able to face life with faith, with great faith, with boldness, to be able to keep our eyes on you, Lord, in the midst of the details and the sweat and the grime and the tears and the trials of life, Lord, to be bigger than our problems. Help us to live above our problems, to live above temptations. Help us, Lord, to live as people of God. Help us, Lord, to meditate on those things that never change, to stand firm on those things which are certain and true. Help us to stand upon your word, stand upon your grace, stand upon your encouragement, stand upon your promises. Father, we thank you. Our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. You forgive us in Jesus, and you lead us forward. Thank you, O Lord, when everything seems foreign, and everything seems new, when everything seems uncomfortable, when everything seems threatening, when everything seems different, Lord, you are the same forever and ever. You never change. For that we thank you, Lord, and ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.